is this King of glory? David asked two times. And the Lord Almighty, is the King of glory. It's a great anticipation of worshiping God together with His people here in Psalm 24. Just a word for moms. Not too much in the sermons about moms. A lot about the Lord, which moms can direct people to. Moms or future moms. Future moms. If you want to be a good mom, put the Lord first. Okay, follow Him. And number two, love your husband. That's the best way you could be a good mom. Put the Lord first, love your husband, and the Lord will take care of all the other things. Like what kind of shoes your children are wearing or how they're doing in English class and, you know, all those things that end up in mom's plate. Love the Lord, love your husband. The children will say, aha, I see where the anchor in life is. Okay, so you could do that. God gives you the opportunity. He gives you the calling. He makes you fit for the calling. The first time I read Psalm 24, surprising place, 12th grade English class in a public school. Has 300 pages of textbook, had a little chapter in there called The Bible as English Literature. And I was a new Christian about a year old, so I thought, oh, I wonder what this is going to say. And it was Psalm 23, a little bit about that. Psalm 24, a little bit about that. And Psalm 100, I think. But Psalm 24, I didn't know anything about it. Never heard it before. But I did really get heart drawn toward what it had to say about the Lord. And they called Him the King of Glory. It said, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And all who live in it. I started to look at my classmates as a lot different. And all who live in it. Chance to belong to the Lord. Okay, God His Savior. That was in there. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So, boy, he's a highly intelligent 17-year-old. I thought, this is really good. I was thinking, I would have immediately changed my college plans from nuclear physicist to English major. But that would be a stretch. Okay. But I thought, this is the best class I ever had, because just focus on God and just looking at those words. They really were a life changer for me as a 12th grader. And Psalm 24, a good contrast to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a compassionate Lord in Psalm 23. He's the King of glory, the mighty God in Psalm 24. So here's God telling us all about Himself, 13 times in 10 verses. Okay, He is front and center. And we sing some songs that come from this psalm. One chorus, lift up your heads to the coming King. Okay, bow before Him and adore Him. Sing, sing. That comes from Psalm 24. And what we just sang, the King of glory comes. And what happens? The nation rejoices. And here, they're talking about Jerusalem being glad about the King coming in. Looking ahead to Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday. How glad some of the followers were at that time. And then Jesus coming back. Not just to Jerusalem, Israel, but to what? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So don't just, read the news about Israel. That's important. Read news about the whole world. Because the earth is the Lord's and everybody in it. And the Messiah comes for everybody. So Psalm 24 preaches the Lord as a mighty King. And God is exalted in the earth and on the sea and by the people. And so it's a good picture of worship that hopefully you and I can have in our souls toward God. Somebody asked, what happened in church on any given Sunday? What happened in church? And you could say, well, I like that song. I like that song. And you could say, the pastor had a good thought about prayer. A good thought about prayer. Yeah. Mrs. McGillicuddy was there. She was looking outstanding as normal. And Mr. McGillicuddy fell asleep. What are you going to do? Okay. What happened in church? Shallow, shallow, shallow. Observation about church. But what happens in Psalm 24? The King of glory comes. The nation rejoices. They open their gates. If there's gates to be opened, open them wide so people could come in. They open as wide as possible. Here, the king is in among his people. Okay, he's the king of glory. Anything good or radiant or beautiful, that's what glory means, is from him. So he's there. And what happened in worship? People bow before him. And they adore him. What happened in church today? Oh, we sang to God. Can you believe it? We sang to God himself. And God talked to us in the Bible. I couldn't believe it. Just like when I was in 12th grade. Kind of takes your breath away. How was church? Well, God spoke in church. Among the people. It was something. And we gave to him. We gave surrendered lives. Okay, we gave just an offering. A heart, more important, but an offering too. To say, well, Lord, this is an act of worship to you. A lot happened in church today. Wow. The King of Glory. The nation rejoices. And lift up your heads. Such is the generation of those who seek God. He's mighty in battle. And he's the Lord Almighty. So good things about the Lord in the passage. Look at verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. Everything in it. Seas. On the land and the people. So God is very pro what he made, and God is very pro people. So all these things tell a story about God. You know, trees tell a story about God, oceans, people. Your life tells a story about God. I thought our life was about us. Your life will soon be over. They put the obituary in there, you know, a whole 15 sentences of your 70 years. There you go, you know. He was a fine man. He was a little league coach, and he was a member of Norwin Alliance Church. You know, much more. if your life is a story of God, oh, much more. Lives impacted, people prayed for, people loved. You know, sins repented of. Wonder if they do that in the obituary. I'd like to put down a list of the sins I repented of. He had a lot of sins. And God spoke to him about each one, and there'd be have to have a big newspaper there. The story of God in your life, okay? Because the people belong to him, whether they acknowledge it or not. God says to every person, you belong to me. We say yes or no by receiving Jesus. That's why we do missions. Every person belongs to God, created in his image. Do you accept or receive Jesus? Here's his love. Here's his good news. That's the mission of God's people. Now, who goes and meets the king when the king comes among us? Who's going to be at the holy hill? Because you better be holy because God's holy. The ones with clean hands, a pure heart, and those who don't give their heart to an idol. Okay, this is the basic, simple qualification. Clean hands. Hands that show God's love, God's law, God's ways, clean hands, you know, loving others primarily, I think is the great work of God. Paul says in Galatians, faith that works by love. So how I can help somebody in some manner. You know when you're loving and you know when you're not. And the principle in terms of spreading the gospel is much love given. When much love is given, many come to Christ. This is what missionaries say. When much love is given, many come to Christ. When little love is given, only a few come to Christ. And it's both a directive and also a point of conviction. When I look at my own life, I think, well, I do a lot. I do a lot, you know, here. But I would love to see more receive Christ. That's what God's telling me. Ramp it up on the love part, you know. Many loved, many received Christ. Few loved, few received Christ. This is a challenge to the believer and to God's people. And so, and we acknowledge there's, you know, hard hearts and so on. But clean hands. How about a pure heart? I need a pure heart to worship God. It's pure means made clean by God. I don't have a pure heart on my own. Got to be made clean by God. Redemption comes before righteousness. I got to be forgiven before I know how to live right. I need that pure heart from God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." That's the inner soul of who we are. For they shall see God. How do you know if you have a pure heart? You see God in about 1,000 places every day. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. They'll be aware of what He's doing and what He's up to. And if we see God now, we'll see Him in heaven. If we don't see God now, we probably won't be in heaven. Because we say, I went through my whole life. I didn't even see you do nothing. You know. God said, I was there. I sent my Son for you so you could have life with me. Clean hands, a pure heart, and do not lift our souls up to an idol. That's coming shortly. But I want to look briefly at one biblical view of people. Very important, I think, motivated from the hand of God in people's life. We're really made in God's image and likeness. It's interesting, God doesn't write that about the ocean, how great the oceans are. Some of you will be at the ocean for, vacation and so on. God doesn't write that about mountains. See this mountain here, this mountain over here, Mount Everest, made in the image of God? Nope. Trees? Nope. Flowers? Nope. Your favorite pet? Not in the image of God. People. Oh. Let's take a glance to the right and left. Made in the image of God. Oh my. You know. When I see Him, I'm reminded of God. If you take a vacation, it's good to look at the trees and everything. If you want to see God's glory or His likeness, just check out the people. Whew. That's something. That's something that God would make people in His image, in His likeness. So we're each person so loved by Jesus, He carries the sin. Of course, you want to respond in trust. All belong to God. He's our rightful King. All of us are priceless originals. So there's one thing I could change in my life. It would be to treat everybody with the value God puts on them and the love that Jesus has for them. This is what I can explain to people. Genesis through Revelation, pretty good. You go C minus. Okay. But to love people as priceless originals, that would be priceless. And God's Spirit's like that. So you and I can do that. We're lost and dead in sin without His help. You know, we're in desperate straits. And we're changed from glory into glory. Glory, again, He's the King of glory. So glory in the Bible means radiance, beauty, and something of utmost importance. I was, when in our home, we get a big kick out of the sky. When we, want to see beautiful things. So we look up, and occasionally, like last week, there's big clouds and the sun behind the clouds, and the big, strong sunlight comes through the clouds. And whenever we see that, we say, look, the glory of God. And that would be true. Look, the glory of God. But really, what we should be saying more often is, oh, here's my Christian brother. Look, the glory of God. Here's my Christian sister. Oh, look, the glory of God sitting in that pew right there. Front pew. Back pew. Look, the glory of God. Change from glory into glory. With ever increasing clearness. And you give the Lord credit for that, because where does it come from? It doesn't come from us. It comes from the King of glory. Something really radiant, beautiful, and very, very important. And it's all from Jesus Himself. So many wonderful things about how God made people, the belonging to Him, dying for our sins, rising from the dead. Here's, and it says, don't lift up your soul to an idol. Here's some common idols we lift up our soul to. Self. Paul Tripp, my friend, said, living for self is not freedom, it is a prison. That's true. When you do what you want, when you want to do it, it never ends well. You know, you're trapped. You're trapped by yourself. So self is a bad idol. Money and material things are bad idols. They're good servants, bad masters. I was going to add to this, but I was feeling merciful. Computers and cell phones. Because they're really not that important to us, right? I mean, they are good servants. What do you call those things? I got a smartphone. I'm all in. I'm into the culture. And I'm thankful for the tool it is. But I don't want to put that creation over God. I don't want to be talking to that more than I'm aware of God. Okay. I feel bad. I cannot have a conversation with people because they're consulting that thing. Put that down. Food, sex, and health, they're parts of creation we should thank God for. If we put them over God, they become destructive. Okay, I think it's a sad example, and I probably have the details wrong, but Old Economy. Old Economy is an old Christian commune that was near Ambridge, Pennsylvania. And those folks, they loved the Lord. I mean, they studied His Word. They worked hard. They just exemplified what a Christian group should be. And they said, Jesus is coming back like in a year or two, so we're not going to have sex anymore. And these are the married couples, by the way. Okay. They say, we're not going to have sex anymore because the Lord's coming back. And we don't want children to be, you know, potentially lost. So, of course, the community perished. But what's the point? I'm not sure at this point. But the point is that you put closeness under God. See, you put closeness under God, and it'll be the blessing it was meant to be. Health, I wanted to mention health. Physical health's important. We don't want to worship that. How about when I was younger, Charles Atlas was where it was at. I wanted to be Charles Atlas. Some of you guys look like Charles Atlas. He was like he became the world's strongest man after the story was somebody kicked sand in his face, you know. So, but that's like, that's health over God. It's like, that's all I think about is how healthy I am. You know, some Christians are like that spiritually. That's bad. It's like, you should see how close to God I am. I mean, just watch me. And if you do what I do, someday you'll be like me. That's not good. That's putting your spiritual growth over God. It's a very egocentric thing. Ask for God to help you with that. Then we have the church, ease, comfort, and pleasure. Charles Stanley picks on that. Family, blessings, family, nation. If we put them over God, then not good. God is infinitely more important. So keep that infinitely more important in your soul. I think on the 4th of July, we should all thank God wonderfully so for the nation. I think every Sunday morning we should be more excited about Jesus than the 4th of July about the nation. Okay? God's not impressed with the fireworks. He's impressed with a surrendered life. Over all nations. The first self-righteous church is the church you and I attend when we don't trust and follow Jesus. Okay? If you want the details on that, it's basically, you know, putting yourself ahead of the Lord. The phrase comes from, unfortunately, an old singer, Ray Stevens, the Mississippi Squirrel Revival story. If you're familiar with that, you might say look it up. There's some spiritual truth in that. And he ends by saying, the Lord works in strange ways. When it took a squirrel to have people repent. Which is, that was the story. It's quite well done. Fun and sports, gifts from God, honor to him, work, academics, hobby. The point is, don't flee creation, but rather let God honor himself in that. Let God honor himself in creation. That's why we say, thank you, Mom, for pointing me toward the Lord. You know. Don't say, moms aren't important. What's that? You know, don't make your favorite verse on moms. If you hear God's word and obey it, you'll be like a mother. No, you're cranky about your mom if that's your favorite verse on moms. Okay. But don't flee them. Put them before God. When we flee these things and just say, well, I'm just concentrating on God. You think in your own home if you have like a devotional area, devotional closet, and you say, I feel really close to God here. I have my prayer, I have my Bible, I have my Christian music, and it's fantastic. But I don't care about my car at all. It's falling apart. I don't care about the yard at all. It's full of weeds. I don't care about my neighbors. Not sure where they're at. I don't care about what's in the refrigerator. I just, you know, eat what I want to eat and go for there. Because none of those things have eternal value. It's only me and my devotional closet that has eternal value. No. All those things can be redeemed by God to honor him. So don't give them up to the world, because you'll end up making no impact on the secular culture if we just hide in our devotional closets and not redeem work, not redeem relationships, not redeem other things. And it's all with the King of Glory coming into the city. You know, he touches all of life. And one important part, our efforts don't bring about the beautiful glory of the King. The King's glory comes and gives us the righteous effort that you and I need. Our efforts don't bring about holiness. Only God brings holiness. And we turn to him from it. And so how can we approach God as, you know, the King being among us? Well, Jesus ascends the hill of the Lord for us. He's the Holy One. And how am I going to have clean actions? Jesus says, will be my clean hands when I put my trust in him. How will I have a pure heart? When Jesus reigns first, he'll keep my heart, you know, reconciled to him and as much as possible to others. How can I have a good tongue? I had a horrible week last week with my tongue. I need the Lord to be my tongue. And he wants to do that, you know, to praise himself. Because he's the mighty Lord, the King of Glory. Any glory that happens in your life or in the whole creation comes from who is the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. And he gives us hearts that can honor him, gatherings that can honor him, homes that can honor him, even mom and dad, you know, mom and dad, to honor the Lord. Open the gates wide, and the King of Glory will come in. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for coming to be with us. Thank you for the gift of yourself. You're the head of our soul. And Lord, you put us in Christian families in terms of church and also in the home life. Pray that we would say, the King of Glory is head of the house. He's head of the time. He's head of the experience. And how the nation will rejoice when that occurs. In your name we pray. Amen.